So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can play it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can change me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run, like a dreamer's face from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I may lose the move on out. You can die like a fool, try to figure out what my mood's gonna be. Come on over, struggle, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay, 'cause I am the game and I want to play.
Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, and yes, it is time to play the game one more time. I tell you, we've got a lot going on. Not sure where Martin is. He was on a cruise last week. I thought he was back, and I may be mistaken, so I guess we'll find out soon enough. In the meantime, we've got a lot going on all over the place, and as usual on Monday night, we'll start with the Louisville situation and what's really going on in Louisville, and I've got to tell you, you know, it never ceases to amaze me how greedy some people are. So we're going to get into the JCPS stuff. We're going to talk about the Louisville Metro Council. You know, for you guys that are looking for a job, though, I mean, let's just go ahead and put this out there real quick. Ford is hiring workers for their Kentucky truck plant right here in Louisville. They pay $15.78 an hour, but you have to go downtown to the unemployment office. I think they call it the Kentucky Career Center or something like that now. But it's a 6th and Cedar downtown. And the funny thing about it is they're not telling you whether they're temporary or permanent jobs. You just got to fill out the application. They're going to hire temporary or permanent. They haven't really said either way. And the application basically just gets you a skills test, and you can get the application between now and August the 16th. So, you know, if you're looking for a job, that's a great thing to do. It is interesting, though, with Ford because of the two-tier wage system and stuff like that. Hopefully, the unions will take care of that in the next contract. But $15.78 for a starting wage here in Louisville is pretty good these days. You know, so check that out if you can. In the meantime, you know, let's get into the garbage of JCPS. The Jefferson County Public Schools, JCPS, they want to raise property taxes again this year. For the 6th year in a row, they're voting tonight. They want to raise taxes by as much as 3.1%. That don't sound like a lot of money. However, 6 years in a row, they can raise it up to 4%. It's like the MSD deal. They can raise it up to 4% without any oversight, but then they have to get it approved. This is how things are worded, I guess, for lack of a better explanation, because you get an MSD who can raise their rates up to 7% each year without any oversight or any approval necessary. You take somebody like Jefferson County Public Schools, who can raise their rates up to 4% every year without any oversight or any approval necessary. You add all these things together, and it really adds up. And the problem with JCPS is they say this is going to give them an additional $17 million that they have, because state and federal funds have been cut. So the only way they can continue what they consider to be vital programs is to have this tax raise. I call hogwash. The BS meter is into overdrive. There's so much waste at Jefferson County Public Schools at the JCPS. It is beyond reasonable to think that these guys need any more money. And you have to really understand here, too, during the 2012-2013 school year, this past school year, JCPS had a budget of $1.2 billion. That's right. You heard me right. The JCPS budget this past year was $1.2 billion. They had a general fund of $915 million. They are by far the largest, at least one of the largest local government budgets in Kentucky. So this is extremely bad. We don't need a school pay raise. Ed Martin, how are you, sir?
All right, Mr. Springsteen.
Welcome back to the Land of Living.
Oh, dude, I was in the Land of Living. What are you talking about?
Well, okay, you was living a life. How's that?
Well, it's a joke. It's my once every 3 to 5 years vacation, whether I need it or not. So.
Oh, I totally understand. A lot of people, I got to tell guys, man, I give Ed Martin all the garbage I can give him. But this guy really works hard. And when he says he goes on a vacation once every 3 years, he's not lying. It doesn't take vacations, But the family forces him to on occasion. Well, welcome back, man.
So, I'm old school. I make my kids work. As soon as they're working age, they got to go out and get jobs. My wife works. I don't make her work because, she's the boss after all. But sometimes it's just hard to sync up four people working, to get them off. It's like, okay, is everybody able to get off on this week? Go for it. And off you go. So.
Well, I can definitely relate to that. My kids are now, one will be 30 in February, and the other one will be 27. So I could definitely relate to that. Once they got to that working age, it really got harder to do that. And, I really don't get any vacations. I mean, even last year we went to South Carolina. It's the first time I've been out of town, and I can't even remember how long. And, that was a working vacation. I did a show right there in South Carolina every day and ran everything I always do. So, I understand completely. But, there's so much going on, though. How can you get time? I mean, we're talking about JCPS right now, wanting a 3.1% increase. Their budget last year, again, folks, is $1.2 billion. They have a general fund of $915 million. They are one of the largest local government budgets in Kentucky. Now, I want to know, why do they need this tax revenue that they're trying to cram down our throats again to gain $17 million with all the waste they have? They could eliminate almost that much, it would seemingly, by getting rid of busing, could they not?
You would think so, yeah. I mean, they're just talking about this lawsuit they've started against the bus company, saying that they need $1 million extra for maintenance. Mm-hmm. It's like, extra. So I'm thinking, if we didn't have the buses, we wouldn't have the problems. That'd be $1 million right there, not to mention how much it costs to run them. How much it costs to, just regular maintenance, how much it costs to buy them, how much it costs to pay people to drive them. Does make you wonder. And, as I posted on this, I'm old school. My dad always used to say to me and anybody else that would come up and say, hey, can I get a raise? He'd say, what do you want one for? And sometimes somebody would say, if I get a little more money, I might work a little better. He'd say, well, why don't you work a little better so you can get some money?
That's exactly it. I'm old school, too, and I agree with that.
And that's where we're at. Basically, this is the same old government crap. I mean, you get it to get it everywhere from the Pentagon to the local school system, where they, you know, they don't deny that they're doing a crappy job.
Right.
The tests bear it out. The state education commissioner bears it out. They're failing miserably in a lot of areas. So their response is like, well, give us more money. And maybe, you know, at some point there'll be a we'll cross this threshold where we'll stop screwing up. If you just, you know, whatever, give us $50,000 a student, and we might actually be able to teach them something, you know, reliably.
Well, I would hope so.
To them, it's like, look, you got your pensions, you got your fat salaries, you're always doing renovations on these schools, you know, and it's like, I'm sorry, but if you want more money, you're going to have to earn it, not demand it, not ask for it. You're just going to have to earn it. And I want to see Kentucky in the top 30 for a change. Louisville maybe in the top 30 in the nation for a change. And then you know what? Why don't you take it? Name your price. You're worth it. But right now, it's like, no, you just want more money, seeing that somehow that's going to make things better, that's going to make it adequate. No way. Uh-uh. It's not adequate already.
Well, I totally agree with you.
$17 million, was it now?
Well, I totally agree. And there's a couple of things here, I mean, really, truthfully, people aren't really paying attention to in the bigger picture. I mean, you know, this is the sixth straight year that JCPS is going to raise the taxes. And you know they're going to vote it in tonight. The Democrats control the JCPS board. So they're going to vote in this one tonight, too, I'm sure of that. You know, but what have we gotten in return for that? Because the reality is, you know, Jefferson County Public Schools has some of the worst schools in Kentucky in our district. You know, we've done nothing to fix that. If this was a private business, they would be out of business. You can't keep throwing money after something thinking it's going to make it better. And I find it interesting, too, because Stephen Tyra, he's the principal over at Bowen Elementary, is on record in an article today that says, our schools have not received textbook money from the state for several years, and many are in need of updating or replacement. Standards and expectations for results have increased, but funding for programs and materials has not kept pace. And I've got to tell you, that puts my BS meter into overdrive, and I tell you why. You know, have they received textbook money? Probably not. I mean, I'm not saying that he's lying about that. However, why have they not received textbook money from the state? And here's what you got. You've got these standardized tests that we have to compete with the nation on. So we're teaching our students to a test. We're not teaching them content. So what are they missing out on the textbooks? You know what I mean? I mean, seriously, that's the way it is. And then a lot of these schools are trying to go to computers and iPads and all this other garbage. You know, our kids aren't being taught basic principles. You know, they talk about the standards and expectations for results have increased. Well, when you're getting paid for a job, I expect you to be performing at the highest standard, and my expectations should be there for anybody that I'm going to trust to the education of my child. So I don't want to hear that, those kind of lame excuses. I really don't. And that's what they are to me, is lame excuses. You know, and when we talk about the busing, one thing people aren't aware of is up until a few years ago, you know, the buses were actually private buses. That means the drivers owned their own bus. They were responsible for all maintenance. They were contracted to JCPS. We had a hell of a lot better track record for accidents because they had skin in the game. And, oh, by the way, it was a lot more cost efficient. It was cheaper for them to handle all of that instead of having to hire all these daggone people to take care of buses and all the other stuff that they're complaining about. If you wanted to drive a bus in Jefferson County when the private guys had it, they better upkeep their equipment or they're not making any money. Their job depended on it. Now they want to go out and hire part-time bus drivers at, what, $7, $8, $9 an hour, you know, and take all the responsibility and risk with it, and that has raised the cost of busing throughout Jefferson County exponentially. So, you know, there's a lot of things here. Until we're willing to address those issues, I can't go with a tax hike.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I'm one that's like, look, like I said, before you have the $17 million, you were substandard. Now you've lost the $17 million. So if you get it back, what's our guarantee that you're going to be anything more than substandard, except that, you know, at a handful of schools that are above standard? It's just, to me, it just doesn't, you know, like I said, if you want it, earn it. I've often said, hey, we'll pay you a lot more. I mean, take us up there and get Kentucky schools and local schools up to a level that that hangs with some of those northeastern states like New Hampshire and stuff, dude, you can punch your ticket because, you know, we're going to – it's good for the economy. But right now, we got the legislature trying to – oh, how can we keep kids in school? Well, let's just make a mandatory dropout age 18. Yeah, that'll fix it. Sounds to me like, why don't you make school more interesting and create opportunities where the kids don't want to leave? How about that?
Well, like, we all know that they raise the age.
To me, and I hear the teacher talking about textbooks, and believe me, my daughter was at school today, and I got one going to UK, so I know the textbook story because we got to buy ours. And it's brutal, but, you know, one of the things that has always killed me is just saying, well, we don't have any textbooks. My first thought is what's the big difference between the textbook that I use for algebra and the textbook they use now for algebra or geometry or, where history's updated, but some of it, but is biology.
Well, they've rewritten, but did you realize?
What's the deal with, and that's something that's always killed me. What is the deal with all this crap about updating textbooks? What is different in these textbooks? The world is still round. The pi r square is still the volume of a circle. You know, nothing much has changed. And if something is current, you know what? Google it. Google it. Get on. You know, something's like, well, there's some discovery in science within the last years. You know what? Google it. Print it off on your printer. You want to talk about the genome mapping or something? Go there. But, I mean,
well,
these kids are
there
struggling
are a couple
with text.
Of things.
And we got to update textbooks. That's what I don't understand. As a matter of fact, I got a kid next door to me. I hand him a management economics book from 1954. And he loves it. He's going for a master's degree in business administration. He's just like, this is awesome. You know, they still cover this stuff just the same way. And I'm like, yes, they do.
Well, they wrote it in plain language back in 1954, too. They didn't dumb it down. Let's go to the phones. How are you, Paul? What can we do for you?
Ed, I have to make a correction on what Ed Martin just stated. He made a claim that pi r squared. No, all the pies I eat are round. So sorry, Mr. Martin. Pi r round.
Yeah, they might be. They might be. But in order for you to get the volume of that pie, you're going to have to work with r squared, pal.
All right, move it on. Go ahead, Paul. What's on your mind?
Well, as you guys know, we at the Stop It group, Stop Invisible Taxes, we look at these kinds of issues on an ongoing basis. And we need fundamental change from legislation that enabled these special tax districts to work pretty much autonomously and independent of any oversight or review. There's really, when you have a small group of people, such as the Jefferson County School Board, and get them in the pockets of the Jefferson County Teachers Association without any independent oversight, no oversight whatsoever. I mean, they police themselves like, you know, they're going to do the right thing. Give me a break. But this is what you get. And the JCPS, Jefferson County School Board, is just one of many, many independent taxing districts that I thought that our state auditor, Adam Edlin, was going to actually look at pretty seriously. Apparently, we haven't gotten to the Jefferson County Public School District yet. And I know it takes a lot of time when you're looking at a place like Kentucky where you have so many different taxing districts doing all sorts of things, most of which they probably shouldn't be doing. But the system is just corrupt to the max. The school
There's
board
no
members
doubt.
That are on there right now, listen, I was looking at somebody sent me an email today imploring us to contact the Jefferson County School Board members. And I went and they provided a link to the Jefferson County Public School site and the school board. And I was reading the bios. And probably the most corrupt person on the board is Linda Duncan. Yet, and she's got a bio that almost looks like War and Peace compared to the other people. You would think that Linda Duncan was God's gift to the Jefferson County Public Schools based on the information in her bio. And the other bios, while considerably shorter, also extolled the wonderfulness of all of these board members. Well, you know, the problem with all of that is that the results that this school board obtains contradicts almost everything that these school board members claim they stand for. They claim they stand for high student achievement, but yet we've got some of the worst performing schools in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and they're not getting noticeably better.
And for what it's worth, when you have the worst performing, some of the worst performing schools in the state of Kentucky, that means you've got some of the worst performing schools in the United States.
And
well, there's no doubt about
that.
Kentucky ranks
at
the bottom.
They're proud of their position as a school board member. They take pride in this position. My God, folks, if I were on a board that had such dismal results and was shortchanging kids like that, I wouldn't be very proud of it. I'd be trying to find a rock to hide under. But, you know, these people are just, they're nothing more than political animals. They aren't committed to the education of the next generations. They're only committed to lining their own pockets somehow, some way, and their own grandiosity and their own self-aggrandizement. That's it.
Well, here's something to think about, too, guys. Well, here's something to think about, too, because when we start looking at trying to get another 3.1% raise for the sixth straight year, you know, I've already mentioned that JCPS has a $1.2 billion budget. They're one of the biggest government programs out there throughout the state, you know, and I would think that they are the largest budget for the public school system. But in November of 2012, and thanks for the link there, Mike, a good friend of ours in the chat room gave us a link to this, but in 2012, WDRB actually did a study and found out where all the schools rank. And in Kentucky, JCPS was outperformed by 76% of the state's schools. 76% of the state schools in Kentucky outperformed JCPS. So that should be a clear telltale sign to anybody that pays attention that you can't just keep throwing money after a problem because it doesn't fix the problem. We've got a history of that.
Because of those 76%, some of them that are outperforming our wealthy school system. Some of them are probably in some of the poorest parts of the United States, in Appalachia. And there are some of the poorest communities going, and they're kicking our butts.
There's no doubt about that. And you know, and speaking of Linda Duncan, Linda Duncan was actually quoted in this story by WDRB. And she says, and her quote is this, "We're all undergoing the same challenge to teach two levels above from what we are normally teaching using 90% as the mark for proficient." Is she an idiot or what? You talk about doublespeak. You know, 76% of the state schools are adjusting just fine. And I say that because I know, you know, 76%, the person at the bottom of that isn't doing great either, but they're still doing better than JCPS. You know, so, I mean, we look at all of this in play. And we've got some serious, serious problems here. You know, Kentucky was the first of 46 states that took on the Common Core standards for reading and math. And that's not working out. You know, we've tried everything we could possibly try in this town except going old school. Take the damn clock back, put the kids in a classroom, put discipline back in the classroom in the schools. Instead of letting these kids run rampant, they leave their cell phones at the daggone principal's office on their way in the door if they can't leave them at home, and force these guys to do something. You teach them that from first grade on, you're not going to have this problem because it's going to be a way of life. We have coddled these kids so much. We have coddled the teachers so much, and it's all thanks to the JCPS board. And I would like to see, I personally would like to see a ballot option to get rid of the school board altogether. I personally would like to see the superintendent and the mayor responsible for Jefferson County Schools. Let them be held responsible for everything that happens with Jefferson County Schools. We don't need this school board anymore. It's outlived its usefulness, in my opinion.
The school board has become nothing more than a mechanism for the Jefferson County Teachers Association to handpick their people and install people and get what they want sort of vicariously through the school board. So they're not directly, you know, it's so far that they're not directly telling the school board what to do, but come election time when they get behind somebody and they push a candidate, they're basically plugging their people in so they can get whatever the hell they want when they want it.
Well, another thing I'd like to see, too, if the state, you know, the Commonwealth of Kentucky has to prepare a two-year budget in during their long session every other year. Why is it that JCPS has to come back every year and ask for more money from us? Why can't they prepare a budget 2 years in advance and give us time to look at it and do what we need to do, due diligence, and then let the legislature vote on whether the raise is good or not? Let them oversee it. There's no oversight whatsoever. Of course, I think that MSD should also be under the Public Service Commission. There are so many things that are wrong that need to be corrected. That's my biggest problem right now is how do we get there? So we need to figure that out. And I'm not sure how we're going to get there yet. But when you've got 76% of the state schools outperforming, the state school district that has the most money, you know, don't tell me you need more money. We need results. The private sector would never get away with that. We're going to take a quick break, bottom of the hour break. When we get back, I want to kind of get into some Metro Council stuff. Councilman David Yates supposedly is going to go after the NDF funds and make major changes and all of that. And if you believe David Yates has a clue, you're dumber than rocks. I'll tell you that right now. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll talk about it. You're listening to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters Radio Show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound.
All right, we back. And I'll tell you what, folks, I forgot to give you the number. If you'd like to call, you can call 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys in the listening queue, just make sure you hit that little number one on your dial pad, and we will get you on there just as soon as we can. We appreciate you listening in. We're talking about money. It's always money, Ed. So, you know, in the first segment, we're talking about JCPS wanting an unnecessary tax once again for the sixth straight year. And lo and behold, we know what happened recently with Barbara Shanklin, illegally using neighborhood development funds. And the Metro Council let her walk. Not the entire Metro Council, folks. 18 of those guys thought she was guilty, but she had just enough votes to walk away clean and keep her job. Well, since that whole situation...
The Shanklin 7,
The Shanklin 7. But since that whole situation, District 25 Democrat Councilman David Yates decided he's going to try to capitalize politically on it. So he puts out a statement saying he's going to propose major changes to how the Louisville Metro Council handles its neighborhood development funds. Says he's going to be working with others to explore all options, including making changes in the KRS statutes. I'm sorry, I fell asleep there. Guys, I got to tell you, Yates is an idiot. He really is. Yates is not a guy that can do anything. Yates is a puppy. Jim King tells David Yates to jump, and David Yates says, how high? It's as simple as that. Him and Marty Meyer both is L.A. I tell you, here's some things you got to understand. Yates went on to say that in order to improve our ability to govern and restore the public's trust, we must address all areas where questions about official conduct are governed. Your Metro Council president is the most unethical person on the council there is. And Yates says he's ready to work with all members of the council. Unfortunately, the only council member that David Yates has been meeting with on a regular basis is Jim King. And his reputation among most Democrats is he's going to do whatever Jim King tells him to do, thinking he's going to further his political power and his political career. That doesn't bode well for him being a messenger of doing anything for anybody other than himself, because that's who David Yates is. And he is being rewarded for it, and I'll tell you why. Council President Jim King confirmed late last Wednesday that a five-member council that he himself had put together earlier this year to draft changes for the policies and procedures on the discretionary funds, he decided he was going to go ahead and disband. So Council President Jim King disbanded his own five-member council that he put together to address this issue, and he said it was because that council he put together wasn't required to have open meetings. But he's going to go ahead and put this new council together under David Yates, and they're going to have open meetings. Ed? Fishy?
All of them are going to be open, and everybody knows that. There's going to be after-hours meetings. There's going to be closed-door meetings between two and three people. But, to me, when it gets down to it, it's just like crime and punishment. Like, you want to restore trust in the council? Well, then when you find somebody in violation of ethics charges, when you find somebody having benefited from, public money and violating the public trust, David Yates, you don't vote to keep them on the council. It's that simple. You want to restore trust, don't be one of the Shanklin 7. But when somebody violates the trust, dump them. And that's all. When somebody violates the law, especially if it's violent and offends somebody, they go to jail. If you violate at work, you get fired. And you violate the public trust, it's up to your fellow council critters or whatever entity you're in, it's up to your fellow representatives to give you the boot. And if you do that enough times, you won't even have to get rid of the discretionary funds or the neighborhood funds or anything, because everybody will see that message loud and clear. If you piddle around with this, if you use this like your own stash, you're going to get the boot. But they didn't do that.
Well, that's exactly it. And you sit here and you talk about this stuff, you know, and Yates says he's going to work with all these people and he's going to do all of this other stuff, blah, 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 blah. But yet, he didn't even bother. Didn't even bother talking with Jerry Miller. He's a council's government accountability and ethics committee chair. He didn't bother talking to Jerry Miller about this. He just decided to go out. Everything that David Yates said is double talk for, I want votes, I want political power, Jim King told me to do this and it'll make me look good in the public eye. There's nothing here other than a statement. Anybody can make a statement. But, you know, Yates has only met with Jim King. He's met with the Jefferson County Attorney's Office, presumably Michael Connell, and he's met with the Fisher Administration about all of this stuff, but he didn't even bother contacting the guy, the Metro Council person who's in charge of the Accountability and Ethics Committee. This isn't Yates trying to do anything other than kiss Jim King's butt and do what he tells him to do. That's just it. You know, so we've got to realize that going in and understand this is just more lip service. And speaking of Fisher and Yates, folks, Mayor Fisher and David Yates, these guys have been having some clandestine meetings with a couple of questionable characters out in the South End over the last week. It's very, very alarming what's going on with this. And we've got the names, we've got the story, and we're going to put them out there for you. But, you know, pay attention to these guys because Fisher and Yates and King are all locked at the hip, and they're doing some crazy stuff. And Councilman Yates clearly cannot be trusted for anything. And for him to go out here and play this game is ridiculous. And speaking of Jim King, Ed, you know, I can't seem to go anywhere without any story I research ends up coming back to Jim King. And I don't know why. It's never been a personal vendetta with me against Jim King. However, you know, last 2 weeks, we at LouisvillePolitics.com, you guys can go there and check out the stories. But for the last 2 weeks, if you know, we've been talking about this work trainer facility that was supposed to be put in the West End that Kevin Cosby and Greg Fisher killed, nixed the deal. Well, it turns out I'm actually researching different reasons for Kevin Cosby to back out and do this kind of stuff. So, I mean, I'm even doing property searches on St. Stephen's Church and Kevin Cosby and everything else. And lo and behold, turns out, you know, I filed these KREF charges against Jim King back in 2008 and fought them until I won. But it turns out that in 2008, remember I told you that we have the audio testimony of Denise Bentley talking about how the Democrats buy votes in the West End, right? You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it turns out Jim King likes to transfer property to Cosby using St. Stephen's Church as a front because they're a tax-exempt organization, so they don't have to pay taxes on it. But it's interesting. Fisher. Greg Fisher is playing a game with Jim King, or Jim King's playing one with him. I don't know. But Jim King is involved in this whole deal and this whole scam as well, in my opinion. Back in 2008, he transferred a lot of property to Kevin Cosby, totaling over $100,000, and he gifted being the key word here, gifted this property to St. Stephen's Church, which in most cases has already been resold to other people. And it really gets interesting, too. Just one example is a property of 2019 Wilson Avenue. And you guys, I mean, I'll tell you, you can go straight to the Jefferson County Clerk's Office, type in that address, 2019 Wilson Avenue, and it'll give you all the information you want, okay? But this particular property was gifted to Kevin Cosby. It was actually gifted to St. Stephen Church, but it's all Kevin Cosby. And the value of the gift on the deed transfer was $42,000. That was the value of the gift. Interestingly enough, Tony Lindauer at the PVA's office decided to reassess this property and assess the property at $3,000. And when you go further and start looking at all the paperwork, you find that this particular property is showing $10 worth of property improvements since it's been transferred. And since then, it's been bought by James and Oliver Payton. So this is just one property. Remember, I have several here, folks. Tell me something, Ed. Is this thing getting bigger? I can't seem to go anywhere without this thing expanding and coming back to the same guy. What's going on here? Any idea?
I honestly have no idea. I mean, the property value things, when you were talking about it, I was waiting for you to come in and say that it got reassessed at, you know, $120,000 and, you know, it could be leveraged against, but that it got completely cratered and I mean, a lot should cost that much. I don't, you know, you talk about the strippers that go in and get the houses and they strip the copper out. Come on, seriously? The house has got to be worth that much.
Well, see, that's it. And I mean, you know, if you sell your house, I mean, the way that Tony Lindauer uses the PBA's office, and it's been going on for many years, prior to Tony Lindauer, I'm not blaming him for the way it's supposed to be, but, you know, if I sell my house tomorrow, they're going to reassess my house or whatever the value is that I sold it at, in most cases. It's pretty common today. So if Jim King and Kevin Cosby agreed that this gift had a $42,000 value, then the PVA should have automatically been taxing it on $42,000. But since it's St. Stephen's Church, they're tax exempt. I totally get that. But you still have to show the value, and they're showing the value at $3,000. So when it's sold to these Paytons, whoever they are, we're working on that now too, by the way, when it's sold to the Paytons, it's supposedly sold for $3,000, and I know that's garbage. I know that's garbage. That's all they're showing on paper. I promise you, there was some cash exchanged somewhere. That's my belief. I'm sticking to it.
And the thing that's equally troubling about that is, you know, one of the problems that poor neighborhoods have is building home equity. When their PVA or somebody goes in and totally knocks the bottom out of a price on a house and the value on a house, whether, you know, sometimes they're blighted and sometimes that's coming. But that all factors into the loan value of the house, the equity value of the house, the resale value of the house. So you're in a neighborhood and all of a sudden the house next to you booked for $3,000, that reflects poorly on the neighbors too.
Well, there's no doubt about it. So there's some major stuff. And, again, I only put up one property in the article we put out today at LouisvillePolitics.com. I only showed the one property. I've got the rest of them already in the story. It just has to be posted. And I'll probably be posting one a day for a little while just to play games. But, you know, the game begins and ends right here at MVM. And, you know, it's disturbing. And speaking of property and market dropping out, and they did this intentionally, as we know, Eric Holder is one of the biggest liars I've ever seen anywhere, primarily since he's supposed to be the chief law enforcement officer, makes it even worse. But his Justice Department actually finally disclosed late Friday that when Eric Holder was out there last year boasting about all the successes that his task force had pursuing mortgage fraud, pursuing mortgage fraud and everything else, that he was lying. And we're not talking about some minor stuff here, folks. The Justice Department originally said that there were 530 people that had criminal charges put against them after a year-long, you know, high-profile task force on behalf of Attorney General Eric Holder
They're not doing nothing. Look at us.
That's exactly it, because now it turns out there weren't 530. The actual figure was about 107, which is 80% less than what we were trying to led to believe. And of course,
hey,
it gets better, Ed.
Wow.
Think of
the colossal miss that is. And, you know, and the thing that gets me is it's not like we were talking like hundreds of millions or some, you know, where you could, you know, or some kind of number where you could miss easy. This wasn't anything you couldn't have added up on a very basic calculator or even used hash marks or an abacus. I mean, there's no reason to miss it by 80%. It's not that difficult to count.
Oh, no, it's not. And that's the beauty of it. Holder actually said that they had the 530 defendants had victimized more than 73,000 American homeowners. Well, it turns out there's 107 defendants, and they victimized about 17,000 versus 73. The losses that were associated with the fraud, Eric Holder said last year that they were $1 billion. Turns out they're only $95 million. You know, he bragged about all this stuff. He was at a press conference back in October, and he was touting this distressed homeowner initiative and touting what a great job it was. He spent a year on this thing, and they were targeting the crimes against homeowners, and You know, good job. He even had the HUD HUD secretary, Sean Donovan, join him at the press conference. They're giving out smiles, slapping everybody in the back, lying through their teeth, and intentionally so. This wasn't a calculated mistake. This was—I mean, this wasn't a mistake. This was a flat-out lie. Once again.
This was an after the press conference. You walk back, slap each other on the backs, and say, "I can't believe you're buying this crap." Yeah.
Right.
As I recall the article, I posted that one too. Is that when you get into it, a lot of the cases that he was touting that he was pushing were already in the process from the Bush administration and from the previous administration and the previous AG. He had nothing to do with. A lot of these successful prosecutions weren't even his.
Exactly. And that's something else, too. They pointed out that the numbers that he used to get to the 530 were actually done under Bush, not him. So, you know, he's playing all these silly-ass games. And everybody was asking a big question. And, you know, you really have to ask this question. By the way, folks, go to Bloomberg.com. You can see a complete story on this showing you a lot of these numbers. But, you know, what was really fascinating is that you got all of these lies, all of this fraud, everything else. And one of the things that people were extremely upset about was when he got into J.P. Morgan and the big banks and the mortgage fraud, there were no arrests. And Eric Holder was quoted as saying that essentially, you know, the banks were too big to fail. They couldn't arrest anybody because it would destroy the economy. Maybe it's not so much that. Maybe it's because the government cooked their own books and there was no way in hell they could prove anything against the bank executives because their books were cooked too. The banks were showing the government
how
to cook the books.
Bank executives got better lawyers and better accountants. They're gonna totally humiliate the feds if the feds ever actually move on them.
Oh, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. So, it's pretty amazing to me that this is going on. And, you know, then we've got even more disturbing stuff coming up. This is coming out of Breitbart, and I don't care if you guys like the source or not. It doesn't mean the story's not true. But the Obama administration in mid-June put out and updated that there's an easier way to cross to gain entrance to the United States. Essentially, what they updated in the published guidelines was that you walk to the border crossing, you tell the officials that you have a credible fear of persecution or torture. If you use that phrasing, they're going to let you come into the USA, and you're going to meet before an immigration judge. But to meet before an immigration judge could take years. Once you're on this side of the border, nobody knows where you're at anyway. So this is really interesting because what this essentially does is, you know, if you remember, we had the Dream 9, last week, that they came in here because they wanted to protest. And the Dream 9 started using this asylum speech that they had a credible fear that they were going to be killed or their family was going to come to harm, you know, because they were sent back to Mexico. Well, that seems to be permeating, if you will, through the network. It seems to be all of a sudden we've got, you know, hundreds and even thousands of people from Mexico coming into the United States illegally, and they're using this asylum approach now, and this is their way to get in the door, knowing that they're not going to see an immigration judge for years at the very earliest. And, you know, even if they don't have to wait years, it's really interesting because there's already a catch-22 of this asylum claim. If the asylum officer finds you have a credible fear, and they will, they're always going to do that, the next step is a hearing by an immigration judge. But if the officer doesn't think you have a credible fear, then you get to request an appeal hearing by an immigration judge. Either way, you get access to come into the United States and take years to be heard in front of a judge, whether you have a credible fear or not. This is mind-boggling to me, Ed. What do we say about something like this?
Well, me, you know, we all have our opinions about immigration, but for me, I actually, I think I should sound the irony alarm here. So you have a credible fear of being persecuted, and we welcome you into this country, right? That's basically what we're hearing. Eric Snowden has a credible fear of being persecuted.
Right. You know, I was hoping this word for your head.
And our government goes ballistic when somebody else gives him asylum.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? The irony is too much.
It really is. And, you know, when you look at the cost, we also have to look at the cost here, folks. We all know that illegal aliens cost billions of dollars to the American taxpayer every year. That's not a myth. It's a fact. You know, and we're also adding to that cost every day. When we continue, when we're starting to allow this based on this little statement that's probably not true in most cases, you know, you're getting immigration agents. San Diego, for example, go to Fox News. You can check them out for this. It'll be on CNN, too, I'm sure. But, you know, you get these illegal immigrants from Mexico coming in and trying this asylum game. You know, and if you use San Diego as an example, the immigration agents in San Diego, those agencies are now having to rent hotel rooms for illegal immigrants. And then they're going on and taking others and releasing them to cities around the U.S., that they say they have family in, they're transporting them to whatever city they want to go to. So they put them up in a hotel room, then take you to whatever city you want to go to and dump you off, never to be seen again. Now we've got all these illegals out here. Right? We don't have a clue what's going on. And Fox News was able to get some documents that to prove all of that. You know, it's very, very disturbing. And even former U.S. Attorney for Southern California, Peter Nunez, you know, he says it's clearly obvious that this has been orchestrated, you know, but what do? This is Barack Obama. You know, this is Barack Obama. What do?
I have no idea. You know, well, I mean, seriously, you hear about it and they're, you know, reading some similar articles. You know, you get into the cost, to the fact that the government's actually showing people how to get benefits and stuff. And, you know, it comes from so high up, I don't have a clue what to do. It's just, you know, we argue about illegal immigration, and they talk about, you know, what can we do to curb it? Can we build a wall? Can we secure the border? Can we penalize employers that are hiring them? Can we deport them? And we have, you know, everybody's got an opinion on how this can be handled. Do we naturalize the ones that are here? Do we give them permanent work visas and not make them citizens? Get all this, and then you find out your government is actually taking this game to a whole new level, and essentially, in some cases, making all the other suggestions, all the other possible remedies, all the other attempts to work through this problem. It's just leaving them in the dust by totally changing the rules and saying, you know what? Yeah, okay, so Congress has been working on it. The American people have been talking about it. We don't give a crap. We're going to do it this way. I don't know what you do. You know, how could you change it? It's like changing the game, changing the rules of a game at halftime. What can you do?
Well, I'm totally with you. And, you know, the sad thing is there's so much we can do, but we won't do it. You know, our good friend Mayo brings up in the chat room, you know, aren't these undocumented immigrants? Well, that's what they want to call them. I'm going to call them illegal aliens because that's exactly what they are. Well, I'm not going to sit here and be politically correct for these clowns. That's just ridiculous, you know. But we look at all this coming into play, and there's something else going on that nobody's paying attention to. So Barack Obama is out there importing new illegal aliens. You can watch a disturbing one-hour show on the Fox News, and I actually did watch it last night. And, you know, I never tout Fox News any more than I tout CNN or anybody else, because I think they're all full of garbage. But they were talking about the food stamp program last night, and Barack Obama's trying to sign up more and more people on food stamps, bringing all the illegal aliens on top of that. In the meantime, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that there are a lot of people who have their green cards or are American citizens that have migrated here legally, that are now giving up their green cards and renouncing their citizenship. And the reason for that? Taxes. You know, the U.S. has decided they're going after global tax evaders. So you get into Hong Kong, Asia, and things like that. You know, we have guys that migrated here, made their money, you know, moved back home. They keep their citizenship status so they can go back and forth easier, whatever. You know, but they're being labeled as tax evaders. So they're saying, okay, we're going to give up our U.S. citizenship. Once you give up that U.S. citizenship, you don't have any right to the taxes, period. So, you know, it's really interesting. The Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act has required all foreign institutions to disclose all the overseas assets of anybody that's a U.S. green card holder and citizen to the U.S. government. Now, here's the funniest part about the whole thing, Ed, and I think you're going to laugh at this yourself. The main objective of FATCA is to make sure they can identify any people who are evading taxes through offshore investment vehicles. I can't help but come back to Bain Capital and all the other things that Mitt Romney was accused of in the presidential election as using these offshore havens, and he's using the exact same offshore havens that none other than Barack Obama is using. Why are we not going after these guys? Why aren't we going after Barack Obama for unpaid taxes?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're looking at that. You look at everything, even including major corporations that, you know, banks or whatnot, that are too big to prosecute. You know, there's people that are offshoring profits all the time, and what's Barack Obama when he comes out with his potential, you know, this jobs bill, and one of the tenets of it was, oh, you know, we're going to cut some people that have offshored. If they repatriate their profits, we're going to cut them a break. It's like the major corporations get the whiff one, and you know, if you're a citizen that just made it and got your money spread around the globe a little bit, they're hunting you down. So,
yeah, I mean, that's exactly it.
You know, I think the idea here is just if you incorporate yourself, like a lot of Hollywood types do, if you just incorporate yourself and you just make all your holdings a corporate, or, you know, you probably catch a break from the government sooner or later when they decide they want corporations to repatriate their money. But if you're an individual, you're in the crosshairs.
Yeah, and it's pretty fascinating. So now, after doing things the right way, legally migrating to the U.S., getting your green card, they're putting such a demand on you that they don't put on anybody else, including the President of the United States, that you're kind of in a position where you either have to renounce your U.S. citizenship, you know, or get buried under paperwork or whatever comes across with it. And when you look at places like Hong Kong is becoming a big, major attraction for people wanting to become citizens in Hong Kong, and primarily because their tax rate, the individual tax rate, has got a 15% cap on it. If we're having all these problems with these tax evaders, these offshore havens and all of this other stuff, I think that just reinforces the notion that the IRS tax code has got to go, and we need to start working towards that flat tax or fair tax. I'll let everybody else work on the details. But it's time to start looking at that. Now, this, you know, there's like, I think there's a couple million, you know, as many as 6 million Americans that are living abroad. You know, and you're only talking about a few thousand that have decided to renounce their citizenship, stuff like that, to date. But that's going to catch on because we're just at the beginning of this. So, you know, maybe we need to start focusing on tax reform. And you know, once we get Barack Obama out of office, and pray to God we don't get Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton. But, you know, there's a lot here we need to look at. But this is very disturbing. So we're going to bring in illegal immigrants. We're going to force U.S. citizens to renounce their U.S. citizenship so they don't get stuck paying for the illegal immigrants. And nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's fascinating to me, man.
Well, you know, Barry Goldwater once long ago said, and I'll paraphrase because I probably won't get it right, but he said, you know, a deficit, a debt, is nothing but a tax that's just waiting to happen. And that's
right.
The truth. It amazes me that, and it's always been one of those things, and it bothers most people, that the government is, you know, whether it's getting votes or just making themselves feel good because they have some kind of guilty conscience issues or something, you know, they want to give away stuff, they want to buy votes, they want to do patronage, they want to take care of those who line their pockets, and you know, it doesn't come free, and the damn shame of it is they're taking the people that are illegals, and they're spending all this money on them. They're taking, you know, in some cases, welfare queens and welfare kings. They're taking, you know, it's a form of corporate welfare. They're doing bank bailouts, doing all this other stuff, and they're handing over all these benefits, all this largesse to a small group, really, and. But if you're just an honest guy trying to make an honest living, you know, honest small business owner, honest employee, welder, carpenter, whatever, they're coming for you. You're a guilty SOB. You're a piece of crap that needs to be squeezed because you're trying to get away with something. But if somebody blatantly tries to get away with something, your government coddles them. And yet if you make a mistake or if you just trying to get the job done. The government views you as something that they should be able to come in and put the squeeze on to pay for all these other people. And it just amazes me that people put up with that crap.
Well, it really, really does. I'm assuming that's going to be your final thoughts, or you got some?
That's pretty much my final thoughts, yeah.
All right. Well, I want to jump into this real quick because we are out of time, man. I apologize. That went a lot faster than I thought. Just real quick, folks, get ready to wake up tomorrow morning to the new 3.1% tax increase by the JCPS. But you need to get off your butts and start getting involved. You know, housing values are going down. Taxes are going up. I don't care what they're saying in Louisville. Oh, the housing market is rebounding. That's garbage. Don't listen to that. The real numbers will astound you. But we do have some creative ways of taking care of a lot of these deadbeat mortgage companies as well. We might try to get into some of those tomorrow night. You know, but we've got a lot going on for the week. Stay tuned with us. So much is happening. It's unbelievable. And, you know, David Yates, Jim King, Greg Fisher, these NDF funds, are you serious? You guys have no clue how easy it's been to find information that we need. Hopefully these guys will forget what they're doing and the game they're playing before this gets crazy and destroys Louisville. But, you know, we've got a lot going on. Stick around for the week. In the meantime, that's a wrap for tonight. Ed Martin, I'll see you tomorrow night at 7 as usual.
All right, sir.
For the rest of you folks, have a great night. We'll see you then. Take care. Thanks for joining us.